When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. Many resets here in when it comes to the Karate Kid we referenced last hour, and then Step Brothers to follow that Karate in the Garage theme. He's in his living room. It's Michael Bruntz with Husker 24/7 Sports. At Michael Bruntz on Twitter to talk some Big Red. Bruntzy, how is the Tuesday going? Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We are good. And how is your spiral compared to that of one Danny Kalen, Heinrich Harburg, or Dylan Raiola? What's the arm strength of a more mature Michael Bruntz?
It's dead. I have no hot sauce left in this chicken wing anymore. It's all gone. Too many sweeping curveballs as a kid, I guess, wore it out. So I don't have the touch of Danny Dimes or Dylan Raiola, but we got to see football today. That was a treat, a rare treat.
Yeah, 11-on-11, man. I mean, did you fall over? Did someone have to shake you in the corner?
Helmets and everything. I mean, that's a rare thing. No, I mean, it was, we were supposed to get like 15 or 20 minutes. We got like 40. That was good. We got to see some guys throw the ball a little bit, and that was good too. And, you know, you got to see, I don't know about you guys. The thing that always interests me is when they're mixing and matching so much, and, you know, you've got these different teams and the spring league thing they're doing. I was intrigued to see who was with whom on the offensive line, because they were really mixing and matching in the little bit that we got to see. And that was kind of interesting to me. I mean, it was kind of instructive to see who was kind of in those first two groups.
Any pairings stick out?
I don't know. I mean, Micah Mazzucca is intriguing just because he's played two other places in the Power Five ranks, and you bring him in as a transfer, as a guy that you hope can play right away. And you know, Matt Rhule challenges him right out of the gates to kind of get with the program a little bit. And, you know, he's out there with Lutovsky, and they had, I believe it was Justin Evans drop the Jenkins now at center. And that was kind of an interesting group. So that to me was kind of interesting. Jacob Hood being out there, that was a little bit of a surprise too. Just kind of given how little we've heard about him, but I think the picture I came away with was they've actually got a lot of line depth this season.
So no gray jerseys in the spring game this year. That was a fun development last year.
Yeah, no, they should have the offensive line numbers to get through the game. I mean, that's the funny thing is, I mean, you're starting to see, you know, spring games start to happen, guys saying they're going to enter the portal. I mean, Nebraska has just like a ton of scholarship guys right now. I mean, I don't know that there's one position that you would say is really lacking for depth right now.
On the flip side of that question, though, what positions are you expecting to see attrition at? I think a lot of people look at the defensive back room with how loaded that room is. There's a lot of guys in there that you think could be getting playing time elsewhere. You also look a little bit deeper on the running back depth chart. There's probably four or five guys that think they are going to want playing time this year, and I don't think all those guys are going to get it. Where do you look at in terms of potential roster attrition with where this team is at right now?
It's early. That's the thing, is it's like Nebraska started so late with spring ball. You know, you got I don't even know if guys have a great sense of where they are in the depth chart right now once everything shakes out, you know? I mean, I think the defensive back room you mentioned is kind of a natural one just because of the volume of players there. But, you know, the other thing, too, if guys are willing to be patient and wait a year, I mean, you're going to have a lot of seniors and veterans that are going to be walking out that door after this season, and there's going to be a lot of open jobs. So, I mean, it's a little early to have that conversation, I guess, at least in my mind, but, I mean, that's how college football is now, right?
Michael, we were talking about Danny Kalen earlier and some of the videos that we were able to see from the open practice. It looked like he was making some pretty good throws downfield. What were your overall, you know, impressions of him and how he stacks up against Arriola or everybody else in that quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, you don't win the Elite 11 accuracy competition by accident, you know? And, you know, that was the thing at Bellevue West that I think was, you know, always kind of true, was that when given the time, he was going to be able to put a ball where it needed to go. I mean, his ball placement was always a little bit more advanced than maybe what his age was. And I think you saw that a little bit. I mean, he made two really nice throws. He had, you know, put it in a place where only the wide receiver could get it. And, you know, I don't think there's any question that Dylan Raiola probably has the stronger arm, but I mean, Danny Kalen can run an offense. He's run an advanced offense at Bellevue West for a number of years and also, you know, played with college level talent. So he knows kind of how to make that work. But I mean, it's such a small window, but I think it was good that you could kind of see what he's able to do, because so much of the conversation until today had kind of been dominated by Dylan Raiola, and you know, appropriately so. I mean, he's definitely got the talent, no question.
Michael Brents is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Michael, this is way too early for this question, I'll admit it right now, but what would your surprise level be if it's Daniel Kalen marching out there in late August as a starting quarterback?
I'd still say pretty high. I would consider that an upset. I mean, if you're handicapping it, in my mind, and it's probably a little too early for that conversation.
Well, what type of upset are we talking? Are we talking 14 over 3? Are we talking 10 over 7? What type of upset would that be?
I would say probably like a 12-5.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't know. I mean, I just think when you kind of look at it in the totality, I would be surprised if anybody not named Dylan Raiola is under center when they go out there to face UTEP.
Michael Brunts with us here at Michael Brunts on Twitter. Who are some shortlist guys for you? I know special teams was a topic of discussion today. We spent a lot of time in hour one wondering who, if you could, i.e. Johnny Rogers is off the table, do you transport for 1 year of eligibility in their prime to be the return man? And you've got Newcomb, you got DPE, you've got DeJuan Gross. You've got a bunch of former stud return guys. But on the roster right now, who do you like? Who do you think's got that ability?
Yeah, it's a hard question because there's guys that you would assume can do it. You can think they can do it. Like, you've got enough athletic guys at wide receiver and defensive back.
Got a whole
back.
Bunch of guys to pick from.
Yeah. I mean, maybe somebody that's not kind of front of mind steps forward and enters that conversation. I mean, we would probably not have had Ethan Nation on that list this time last year. He's a summer enrollee, so that would have been a heck of a thing if he were. But, no, I mean, you know, they said it's, you know, kind of him and Isaiah Garcia-Castaneda right now, potentially. I mean, he's still limited by the knee injury. So I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of something you have to take into the fall. You know, I'm sure the first couple practices of fall camp, we're going to see probably about 7 guys lined up taking their hand at it to see if they can do it. Because I don't know. I mean, it's Mike Riley said this when he was head coach, and I think it's more true every year, that it's really difficult to return punts with the way college football is nowadays. Mm-hmm. And with the punters being as good as they are, with just trying to find enough room for guys to return punts, it really is a challenge. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's Ethan Nation, maybe somebody emerges. I don't know. I mean, I think there's probably a limit to what you can kind of learn special teams wise in the middle of April. Maybe I'm wrong.
Is Jeremiah Charles an athlete back there that could, Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he can dunk. I mean, we saw that. But I mean, he might.
Can
he
dunk a
there.
Ball between the goalposts yeah. and not get flagged?
That'd be a wrinkle we weren't expecting. The defensive back room seems like there's probably about three or four guys that could be in that conversation in that cornerback group. I completely agree there. Wide receiver too. I mean, you know, Ja'Cory Barney. I mean, is he an option? He's another guy that I kind of thought of as they were listing off the potential names. So we'll see. I mean, I think right now you're just kind of getting a list of names in your head about who could potentially help you there and just kind of see in the fall.
Michael, as we talk about just having a list of guys ready, I think that's what we're at with offensive leadership. We've seen plenty in the Chasing Three series on the defensive leadership that we've seen with guys like Gifford and Polar Bear and Ty Robinson. There's clearly some guys that are stepping up and fulfilling that leadership role in the defensive side of the ball. Any options offensively, guys to watch out for? I think obviously you want your eventual starting quarterback to be one of the leaders of that offense. That's something that will play itself out as the summer and fall rolls forward. But other than that, what potential leaders do you see offensively on that side of the ball? It's not a topic we've discussed a ton, but it's something that's going to be important by the time August rolls around.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, you know, definitely the quarterbacks are going to have to run things in the summer. I mean, that's a given. You know, the offensive line, you have a number of veteran guys that, you know, I do kind of wonder how comfortable they are being a louder voice. I mean, I've never gotten the sense that Bryce Benhart's a particularly loud voice in the offensive room. But, I mean, he's a guy that's played as much football as anybody on that roster. You know, maybe Ben Scott can be that guy as your center, kind of directing traffic. He might be an option. We've heard really good things about Jamal Banks, the wide receiver transfer. I mean, he's a veteran guy, knows what to do. I think he's kind of approached things coming in that semester in the right way. And, I mean, even in the running back room, I mean, maybe an Emmett Johnson, I don't know. Thomas Fedoni is another who's kind of been around a while that maybe you turn to. I mean, it is an interesting question because I think there's possibilities. And I also think that sometimes – there might not be a guy that's just like that perfect, like a Ty Robinson that everybody kind of is the unquestioned guy, in any room he's in. So it's something that they got to figure out though. Cause I mean, if you're starting a freshman quarterback, you kind of need some other guys to kind of help him in that way too.
Michael Bruns is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Switching it over to baseball here, Michael, obviously this weekend we saw an absolute gem from Brett Sears. And then on Sunday, it was a little bit of a rough start for Drew Christo, but then Will Walsh came in and was pretty phenomenal in his work there. He retired 10 in a row at one point later in that appearance. Do you think about switching up that Sunday starter role? I know Will Walsh has been more of a midweek guy, but do you maybe kind of play around with that spot after what we saw on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think over the last couple of weekends, what you've seen is obviously, you know, Brett Sears has Friday lockdown. I think Mason McConaughey was given an opportunity to start and he kind of ran with it. And I think he's, you know, a solidly your Saturday guy now. I mean, I think he's a guy that can go out and give you six innings pretty comfortably and keep that game close. Sunday has been kind of the big question mark all year. They've tried a number of guys there. Christo, you know, has plus stuff, but the last couple times out, it hasn't really shown. Will Walsh has been good in the midweek role. It's kind of a long relief option. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Walsh get a shot there. I mean, I think Nebraska needs to get that figured out because you're almost already at the midpoint of conference play. And, you know, you can't afford to drop these Sunday games just because you're constantly in a hole. I mean, when you start getting into the potential host conversation, which Nebraska's in, even though, you know, they took two or three from Ohio State, you lose Sunday and the RPI drops seven or eight spots. And that just kind of shows you the margin of error that Nebraska is working with right now. And, you know, I think, you know, you kind of have to look at that spot on Sunday as you need somebody that can go in there and give you five innings consistently and then lean on your bullpen a little bit. I think that was the thing that was disappointing about Sunday. Was you lost that game and you basically had the entirety of your bullpen pretty much available and, you know, things were really kind of set up well for him, and he didn't get it done.
Bruncey, about 90 seconds. The task at hand tonight in Lawrence, KU, a game over 500, one under in conference play. What type of test is there for Nebraska tonight? KU's on a four-game skid.
Yeah, they got kind of worked over by West Virginia this past weekend. On Sunday, they used 10 pitchers just to get through that game. Seven pitchers gave up runs of those 10. So you're probably looking at a bullpen game for them. For Nebraska, they're going with freshman Ty Horn again. He kind of struggled in his two starts against Nichols and South Alabama. It's another opportunity for him. And you hope he can get you four or five. I mean, it's a big chance for him to maybe get in there and, you know, maybe get that midweek role solidified. And, you know, the bats just have to show up and play focused baseball. I mean, as much as Kansas is kind of struggling right now, this could potentially be a nice little RPI win for you, just as Big 12 play goes along for them. So these next 10 games are huge for Nebraska. They've got good teams in the midweek, and in kind of two or three of your probably toughest conference foes right lined up right here.
Bruncey, we'll be following you. We'll be reading you with Husker 24/7 at Michael Brunts on Twitter. Thanks for jumping on and talking some ball with us today.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
There he is. Good to spend time with Michael Brunts. Always love catching up with him. And good insight. We'll have some more thoughts on spring football with Jeremiah Searles. Papa Searles going to join us next segment in open phones at 5:40 till 6. We'll get to more of your stream comments. Dion's a big Brunts guy. We're all big Brunts guys. And it's good to hear from him. So maybe some Coach Foley on the other half, and more from Evan Cooper. And then you had Isaac Gifford. Really step forward today, too. Some insight from him. Searles next on Hail Varsity.